Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So Earth Day is tomorrow, and, you know, it's full of all kinds of smiles and, you know, hugging and kumbaya moments about the Earth and the environment and saving the planet. But the reality may be a little bit different than the smiley celebrations on Earth Day. And just in time to rain on all of our parades for Earth Day, Philip Martin, senior investigative reporter at WGBH, joins us. Good morning, Philip.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
Yeah, it's great to have you here to really kind of throw a wet towel over all the Earth Day celebrations. But it's an important issue that you raise on the question of carbon offsets. There's supposed to be a set of incentives to reduce the amount of carbon, and consumers can actually sign up to be a part of this. But in looking at the details, maybe it doesn't quite add up. What have you found?
Well, don't mean to rain on anyone's parade, so to speak.
Yes, you do.
Look, here's what happened. The New England Center for Investigative Reporting, which is out of Boston University, they joined with the Christian Science Monitor in collaboration with WGBH. And what they basically found is, take for example, you as a consumer,
right,
John, you probably recycle, am I correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so lots of people do, but a lot of people go even further. What they do is they participate in carbon offset programs. And a lot of this was made popular by Al Gore's now infamous movie, An Inconvenient Truth. One person I spoke to is a student named Amanda Mantino. She's a graduate student at Brandeis University here in Massachusetts.
Smart, sophisticated, right?
Smart, sophisticated.
Sure.
She was looking for a way to offset the carbons that she emits when she flies. And a lot of people do this. They go online and they do this. And Amanda Mantino, she flies quite frequently, and she purchases her ticket online, consistent with her environmental bona fides. And when she goes online, she wants to offset her carbon footprint. And this is how she does it. I have some tape here.
At the end of the website page, after I purchased the ticket, there was an option to calculate my carbon emissions, and then it summed up a little total that I could pay to offset them, and it gave me the option to charge that on my credit card.
And there's nothing wrong with her motives here, right?
Nothing wrong at all, and that's just it. Some of these carbon offset programs themselves, they're built on good intentions. What happens, however, is that a lot of these good intentions, according to this New England Center for Investigative Reporting and Christian Science Monitor story, and which we collaborated on, is that you have a lot of companies, one like Native Energy of Vermont. Again, they're built on good intentions. They work to offset carbon in the atmosphere. A lot of this happens to be through by growing trees and things of that sort. But they're also making a lot of money doing it. And nothing wrong with that, but I'll explain what the contradiction is. But here's the type of money they're making. CEO of Native Energy of Vermont is Tom Boucher. He explains.
It's already a $300 million business in the U.S. market on the voluntary carbon market. That will more than double, we think, in the next few years.
It's $300 million spent in buying trees to offset the exhaust from power plants, that sort of thing, right?
Sometimes it's not that concrete, that tangible, and that's the thrust of the investigation.
Right.
The problem is a lot of these are promises. The Native Energy, which Doug Strzok, the main reporter on this, found, is built on good intentions. They're well intended, but what people are buying into, people like Dave Matthews Band, REM, Native Energy is known as the offsetter to the stars, if you will. It will probably take 20 years to come to fruition. What they're describing, what you're buying into, is basically a promise. And this is now Native Energy is built on good intentions, but there are some firms that are accused of outright fraud, and I can tell you about those. Many of them are overseas.
The Native Energy issue is people may be buying into it. It's a successful business for them, but basically all you're doing is supporting a brand. You're not really helping the environment in a concrete way. But if you go overseas, this gets even into the whole pure scam domain. Explain what you found there.
Well, without question, the Christian Science Monitor, New England Center for Investigative Reporting, they uncovered something called the Vatican Forest. I know it sounds like a B-movie, but the efforts by the this was an effort by the Vatican, basically, to deem itself as green, to become the first carbon-neutral sovereign state. And there was a ceremony that took place in the Vatican in which Cardinal Paul Poppard was given these certificates by a California promoter. His name was Russ George. Those certificates guaranteed that the Vatican would become, in their words, the first carbon-neutral sovereign state. Now, those carbon offsets were guaranteed a forest would be planted in Hungary that would offset tons of carbon emitted from cars. This is in a place called Tyszeszky, not too far from Budapest.
And how are the trees
doing?
The
problem is that
How are the trees doing?
Well, here's the problem. Doug Strzok, when he traveled to Hungary for the investigation, where those trees were supposed to have been planted 3 years earlier, there was nothing there.
Oh,
and so the Vatican is now suing, or rather I should say the Vatican is now seeking legal redress. And the this promoter basically has closed shop. He had given away these certificates. And what was great about these certificates, of course, is the publicity was phenomenal. It was a boon for
right.
this guy.
And the publicity, of course, the publicity that the Vatican, you know, got and the promoters got, but somebody pocketed the money and there's no trees. I love this story in India of a wind farm that was created to offset carbon, but they had to cut down 12,000 trees to actually make the wind farm, which, of course, is absolutely ludicrous. Tell me about the situation in Panama.
Well, Panama is quite intriguing. You have many problems in Panama. The investigative team basically found on one wind-battered plantation, for example, which in its brochure describes itself as a certified offset project, it's not. I mean, relatively few trees have been planted. In the 600 jobs that were promised now stand at 10 jobs.
Wow.
And The company cited in the report is called Silva Tree. This practice of falsely claiming certification was criticized by Panama's Minister for Environmental Affairs, Javier Arias, who said he was concerned about what he called scams that might harm the country's lumber industry. Oh. I have some tape.
In this country or in other countries of Central America, I rather think that one scam is too much. We have to protect our industry. In this investment environment, we don't want to afford more scams as those we saw in the past, because it would harm the complete industry.
All right, Philip Martin, conclusions. Does this mean we got to ditch the whole carbon offset program, or does it call for more regulation or higher mandatory participation to make it work?
We definitely don't ditch the program, but we do have to. There has to be more regulation, and not more regulation. There has to be regulation. John, there's almost no regulation right now. This is an unmonitored enterprise.
Offset, the reality of carbon offsets, from Philip Martin, senior investigative reporter at WGBH. Link to our site and find out more.